The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today I would like to give the second talk in a four-week series on generosity, the Buddhist teachings on generosity. And the last talk I gave was a little bit the background and the overview of the value of generosity. And today I'd like to talk about the practice of generosity. Sometimes when people talk about generosity, it can seem a little bit like you should just be generous, and that's it. But it can also be seen as a practice that one takes on voluntarily. And maybe the most useful time to take on the practice of it is when it's most difficult. Not because you're obligated to, because it's a practice in that you benefit from engaging in that. As a practice, the focus is in some sense on how you benefit from doing generosity, what you learn about yourself, what you learn about your, you know, your close-fistedness, you don't want to give things away, your attitude, relationship to other people, your beliefs around possessions, things, your time, and your beliefs about your understanding of what it means to be in community and relationship to other people. It's a powerful self-learning to practice generosity. And as I said, as a practice, the focus, in a sense, is in how you benefit from practicing generosity. And it's, I think that's quite wonderful, because how you benefit from benefiting others. Because generosity is how to benefit others. And so there's this mutual relationship of we benefit others and at the same time benefit ourselves. We benefit ourselves at the same time we benefit others. And I think it's very significant that one of the most succinct definitions the Buddha gave of wisdom is knowing how to benefit oneself and how to benefit others. And you might reflect on that, why that's so significant, but it's a beautiful, I think, expression. And the opposite of being wise, I suppose, would be foolish. And a foolish person, the Buddha said, would be someone who harms oneself and harms others. So one of the teachings around generosity from the Buddha is you should give in such a way that you don't harm yourself or harm others. So it's a guideline. So you're not supposed to just blindly give away everything in a way that harms yourself. Because giving is supposed to be all good, and you're supposed to give selflessly, therefore no concern for yourself. There's a way of giving somewhat selflessly, but knowing that in doing that you're benefiting yourself. You're benefiting yourself perhaps by letting go of selfishness, for one thing. But we're also looking how to benefit ourselves. So it occurred to me to tell you a fairy tale, not a Buddhist one. But the fairy tale goes like this, that there was a daughter born to a family. And when she was born, the wise seer, the wise woman of the village who could see deeply into things, looked at the girl and said, "Oh, this girl is fated to die on her wedding night, on her wedding day." So that was quite a bit of news. So it came time for, you know, she was of age, it was time for her to get married, and so they had the ceremony, they had the wedding feast. And during the feast, there was a knock on the door. And someone opened the door, and it was a beggar who was hungry, asking for some food. And the people that answered the door said, no, this is an important event here. We're, we're celebrating this very happy occasion. of this wedding, and you're dirty and scruffy, and you know this is not your time, you know, to close the door. Well, the bride, the newly wedded woman, overheard this, and she went out and opened the door and said, wait, and she went and got a big plate of food and brought food to the beggar. And they continued with the feast, and she went to her, what is it called, her wedding bed, you know, spent the night with her newly betrothed husband, and woke up the next morning alive. And so the father of this daughter went back to the old woman in the village, said, "What happened?" She was supposed to die. And the old woman said, "Well, she interrupted or she severed her karma, her fate, by that act of generosity." So generosity can be a very powerful act that can provide tremendous benefit to oneself, even though I think in the story the bride had no idea she was trying to benefit herself. So in Buddhism, in Buddhist practice, as a practice, we are a little bit concerned about how we benefit ourselves, how we learn about ourselves, free ourselves, develop ourselves in the practice of generosity. So there are a number of things to consider when practicing generosity. First to consider is when you practice generosity, it's best not to feel that you're obligated to be generous, but you're voluntarily taking it on because you see it's beneficial for yourself, for your own growth and development to do it. So just like you would take on a meditation practice, you take on a generosity practice. The other is how you give is maybe more important than what you give. And in fact, I think in Buddhist spirituality, how you are is usually more important than what you do. And sometimes people are a little bit too focused on what they do as being important. I've talked to a number of people recently who I don't know if they've bought into, but they're preoccupied with or caught, are very much involved in trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life, their career. They're going to find that thing which is going to, you know, be their thing for their life. And there is a message in our society sometimes that if out there somewhere, if you're going to be fulfilled or be a successful person, you'll find your thing and your what. And for some people, there's a what that they do. However, there's some people who never find the what their life is about, but rather what they find is the how. It's the how they are that's really valuable and important for them. What they do isn't that important. They might work at they might work at McDonald's. But how they are when they do their job is what's important, that they're kind, they're supportive, they're generous, how they are, what they offer, they're ethical. And so as Buddhist spirituality has a lot to do with how we are. And so in being generous, the practice of generosity, we want to spend some time looking at how we are. What's happening to us when we're being generous, when we're giving? When we give, are we in fact generous? Is it coming out of generosity of heart, a wish to help other people? Generosity has the meaning of giving when it's not required or expected. So are you giving because just, you know, in unexpected situations, more than it's maybe required? Or are you giving because it's required? Because, you know, it's someone's birthday and you don't really want to give the birthday gift, but, you know, it's just how it's done, your family and your culture or something. And, you know, if you show up at the party with a gift, you know, that's going to be serious repercussions. So I guess I'll go out and buy a gift, you know, and so, you know, it's kind of reluctant. Is there generosity or is there fear in the giving? You know, I don't know if I can give that much. I might get hurt. It might hurt me. It might be a problem for me. Is it really a problem for you to give as much as you want to give in certain situations? Where is the greatest benefit for you? Is it in amassing infinite wealth, if you're giving goods or money? Is it preserving the sanctity of your own time and privacy when you give of yourself and your time? Is there fear about opening your heart or opening your connectedness to others when you're generous? Because generosity involves a connectedness, especially when it's generosity directly and person to person. So is there fear involved? It's possible to study, as we are generous, what's the motivation in being generous? Is the motivation to get something in return from the other person in exchange? Is the motivation to have status? You know, I don't really want to give that birthday gift, but if I'm going to give a birthday gift where everybody's going to see what I give, I'm going to go out and buy a really expensive gift so that everyone sees, you know, how generous I am, how special I am. And so there's more going into the gift giving than simply wanting to do something generous to someone. And so it's possible to study one's motivation as part of the gift giving. It's possible to notice a variety of beliefs in gift giving. Like one belief that I've had sometimes is that my generosity and my gift doesn't really count. It's not that important. And so I sometimes give, but I'll give kind of, I don't know if reluctantly is the right word, but kind of I'll diminish the importance of my gift. I've just slide it across the, you know, or put it on the side if there's a, you know, my gift can't be that important. And so there's a diminishing of myself, diminishing of the gift giving as part of it. So how we are, and then another interesting question is, how are we in a relationship to the other person? Do we have respect for the person? Do we have love for the person? Do we have some sense of the value that we're providing the other person? So, for example, if you give to someone who's homeless, do you give with respect, with valuing the person? A homeless man once stopped me, and I said, "I'm hungry. Can you give me some food for, you know?" He asked me just for some coins. He asked me, "Can you give me a quarter or something so I can, you know, help me get enough money to go buy some food?" And so there was a McDonald's across the street. And I said to him, "Why don't I just buy you some food? Let me buy you dinner." And he kind of stood, kind of cocked his head and looked at me for a little bit, like I'm looking me up and down. And then he said to me, "Okay, I trust you." And that was a great moment. You know, that he would trust me. And I felt kind of, so I did, I went over and I bought him food. And by that time I felt it was a privilege to buy him his food. I felt that there was a trust that somehow he had looked me over and decided I was a trustworthy person that could give him this thing. And that was beautiful. So what is your relationship to the person that you're providing to? And then are there beliefs from your family, your culture, your society, your religion about what giving is all about? Is there a sense of obligation? Is there beliefs about who you should give to, how you should give, that are part of it? I find it interesting that in one place the Buddha listed who you should give to. And the list starts with your family and friends. And I find that kind of very special because it kind of points to an aspect of the Buddha's teachings where he respects and values the relationships you have with your family and friends. He doesn't want to deny them. But then he says, these are great. In a sense, he says, these are great. Now universalize it. Don't limit those feelings, the love or the care that you have for the people who are close. Start there and then spread it, expand it outward beyond those people so it eventually becomes universal, including all beings. So in terms of generosity, start there. Certainly be generous there. And then to people who are poor and sick and having a hard time was the second category. And the third category in this list was the Sangha. So this is some people say it's the Buddhist monastic community who live on alms. They live only on what people give them. But some people say that the Sangha includes all people who practice in order to support people, individuals of all kinds, practice centers, to thrive and develop because of the great value that practice has for people, and we want to support people who practice. I like this kind of the list of three, because what I saw in some of the Asian countries was people would give to the monastics in preference or to the people who were poor. And it was quite painful to see that outside the monastery gate there were poor beggars who were starving. And inside the monastery there was feasts of food. The people would come and carrying lots of food to give to the monastics. And you know, just the contrast between the there was more food than the monastics could eat. And outside the gate there were people who were hungry. It didn't seem right to me. And so, but in this list, it starts with family and friends, then the people who are poor and sick, and then there's people who, you know, and then people who practice, practitioners. So the Buddha also advocated when you give, you should give with respect. He suggests that you give with your own hands. This was before fundraising letters and before, you know, the global economy where we can give to save the children, and it helps children in India, but we don't actually give the giving directly ourselves. But in the spirit of, you know, giving directly, sometimes when I write a check to donate someplace, you know, I'm not doing it, giving it directly in a sense, but I take some time to kind of, I don't just write the check and just like put it in envelopes as quickly as I can and off it goes. But I take some time to sit and kind of, not meditate exactly, but sit and take in and reflect on what I'm doing and imagine the people it's going to. And it's kind of a little bit of a practice to sit there and be with it. So it's much more conscious and clear what I'm doing. So I wanted to offer five practices of generosity of giving that you might try for this next week. Maybe one a day or in your own way, or maybe some of them speak to you more interestingly than others. But to practice with it as a mindfulness practice, as a way of learning about yourself, as a way of discovering new aspects of yourself, and perhaps discovering some of your goodness and some of your beauty, discovering something about your relationship to others. Because an important part of Buddhist spirituality is that interface between you and others and what happens to you. Who are you in relationship to others? What is a healthy way of being relating to others? And part of the function of practice generosity is to explore that, what healthy relationships are. So the first practice of generosity is to do exactly what you're already doing. Don't do anything different. But see if you can infuse what you're doing with a spirit of generosity, an attitude of generosity. So this doesn't require you to do anything different, right? In terms of, you know, you don't... But you're all doing something in the world. I mean, you have to. You're all doing something. So even if you're driving a car, those of you who drive, what would it mean? You're already driving. What would it be like to drive in a way that's generous to the other drivers, the other people around you? And to actually infuse driving with generosity. Maybe more often give people the right of way when they're coming into your lane. More often stop for pedestrians, or, you know, more often let someone else have the parking space and you can take one further away. What does it mean to drive generously? Or maybe you cook for people or shop for people, someone in your family. And you know, you can just do it because, you know, like, this is what you do every day. You cook breakfast and, you know, the point is to get it over with so you can get on with your important day. And or it's that you're starting to do on automatic, you're on automatic pilot, just something you've done every day. But then what would you like to make that meal, do that shopping with an attitude of generosity? To think of it as generous act, and what would it mean to be generous in doing it? What about at work? What if you do your job and really infuse your job, your work, with an attitude of generosity, giving, supporting other people, doing something for others? So this is the first practice, and I like this because it doesn't require you to change what you're doing, just doing what you're already doing, but so you're not being stretched, you know, financially or time-wise. It's just, you're just kind of thinking about how you can be generous. How could you infuse generosity in the things you already do? The second thing is to give practice small acts of generosity. Things that don't require a lot of you. But look for opportunities to give small acts of generosity you normally wouldn't do. So maybe a small act of generosity is to bring a snack to work and offer it to other people. Bake some bread or bake some coffee cake or something and bring it and offer it. Maybe relatively small. Or maybe even smaller would be to ask someone how they are, who you normally don't stop and ask how you are. Give them a little bit of a generous time and care and support or something. How are you? As a practice of generosity. So give of yourself. Give a smile. Give a little bit extra time to someone who needs your help. Find small things to do. And then as you do those small things, study yourself. Don't just give for the sake of giving, but before, during, and after, try to be mindful of what's going on for you. Notice what motivates you, what you're thinking about. Notice what your feelings are in relationship to what you're doing and the person you're doing. Notice the beliefs that come into play, both the good beliefs, the painful beliefs, the difficult beliefs, the fears that come into play, the joys that come into play as you do it. After you're given, reflect a little bit how it makes you feel afterwards. What's that like to have done that? You go back to your desk, you know, the meal's done and cleaned up for and everyone's gone. And then reflect, you know, what was it like to have made a little extra special meal for people of my family or my friends? And, you know, thinking back, what happens to you when you think back and reflect? Oh, I shouldn't have done that. That was a waste of time. Or, you know, they didn't thank me. There was no thank you coming back. Well, that's interesting. So, you know, there was no thanks at all. What is it about thanks? How does thanks and gratitude come into play with generosity? There's a role for gratitude. And there's a role for generosity that doesn't expect anything in return. And so what's going on in the roles of we're all playing when there's no thank you? Or boy, that thank you was over the top. That was great. That, you know, I wish the person would stop thanking me. Anyway, so give small ways and just explore and discover what happens there. The third practice of generosity is to look for situations where you're inspired to give and practice those giving. Maybe there are things that already inspire you, but you're going to do it next week or next month, you're going to do those things. But when you're maybe this week, look for things that really inspire you, kind of delight you, and do them. And see what that's like. See when there's a real inspiration, real sense of joy and delight. And if you can't think of anything that delights you in being generous for, look at that. Reflect on that. Be mindful of that. Maybe talk with some friends who you trust, or total strangers, maybe it's safer. Find a total stranger and say, you know, nothing inspires me. When I think about generosity, I'm completely uninspired. Nothing at all I can think of would bring me joy and happiness and giving. Can we talk about it a little bit? I'm curious. You're a therapist. But anyway, explore this area. What inspires you? And practice the things in generosity that inspires you this week. Find something. And see what that's like, what goes on. The fourth practice of generosity is stretch yourself in being generous. Be generous in a way that's hard for you. Don't give away all your wealth. But give in ways that say, well, I'm not sure, that's a bit much for me. To actually give that much time, I have a busy life, and to spend that much time with my neighbor's sick and bedridden, and not a lot of people visit. And I could stop by and bring some groceries and spend 10 minutes there, but to spend half an hour, that's a lot. That's kind of asking a lot. I have important things to do, or there's football games on TV, and so it's a stretch. So explore what it's like to stretch yourself, to give a little bit beyond what you're comfortable with or what feels good. Just a little bit. You don't have to, again, do big things. But explore what it's like to stretch the boundaries of giving and giving in ways that start becoming a little bit more than you feel comfortable with. And study that. Discover what goes on there. So the fifth practice is, and this is maybe, we'll see if you want to do this one, but at least once in your lifetime you should do this one, if not this week. Practice, do an act of generosity to someone you're in conflict with, someone who's your enemy, someone who you have great difficulty with, a difficult person in your life. Figure out some appropriate way to be generous to that person. And I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from people who have done that to their difficult people, you know, the difficult mother-in-law, and they showed up and they gave a present. You know, there's a long history of difficulty and tension and with mother-in-law, but they had this family gathering and they showed up with a gift for the mother-in-law. Kind of disarmed her, changed the situation. But see what happens to you, because it also changes your relationship to the person, because then the person is not only the difficult person. There's something else going on. What happens to you, and what happens inside of you? What are your fears, thoughts, resentments? What goes on inside of you when you contemplate giving to a difficult person? And what happens when you do? It's a great thing to do. So you might want, I want to choose the most difficult person the first time, but for the purposes of this exercise, maybe you're lucky enough to have a mildly difficult person in your life. and see if there's appropriate act of generosity you can do. So the final thing I'd like to say is to when you practice generosity as a practice, you don't have to feel generous. When you practice giving, you don't have to feel generous, but you have a sense that it's valuable as a practice to do it. It's stretching you, and you help discovering yourself, freeing yourself. But when you're not practicing generosity for those purposes, but you're acting generously, acting from generosity, the Buddha gave three guidelines for how you should feel when you're generous and who you should give to. So first, someone asked the Buddha, who should I give to? Who should you be generous to? And the Buddha said, to whoever you have confidence in, or to whoever you're inspired to give to. Rather than telling people, thou shalt give to family, you know, poor people, practitioners. This time he said, give to whoever you're inspired to give to. And I think it's quite meaningful. Just look at yourself. You're not obligated to give, but give where you're inspired, where it's meaningful. The other thing he said, when you're being generous, or a quality of this kind of generosity in Buddhist practice, you would be, before you're generous, you would be happy. While you're generous, you'd be peaceful. And after you're generous, you'd be satisfied. Occasionally you find translators who say, translate this piece as you should be before, during, and after an act of generosity, there should be joy. But literally it says, happy before, peaceful during, and satisfied afterwards. So in contemplating the fact that you're going to give, it makes you happy, the idea to give. And as you give, there's a peacefulness or ease in the act of generosity. There's a lightening. It's not a heavy burden to do it. There's an ease. And when you, afterwards, you're satisfied or pleased, it's, for the act of generosity you've done. one of the biggest rewards from being generous is having the heart feel at ease. In the same way that maybe you can feel like your breath, you're breathing easily. Finally, your breath is easy. It's a nice, one beautiful feeling to feel the breath is free and easy. In the same way, in the act of generosity, it's possible to feel the heart become easy, become free, be light, be open. So I hope that the practice of generosity is something that proves valuable for you, and I hope it challenges you in a good way, and I hope the end result is an easy heart, happy heart. Thank you.